Are you shocked that Slim would step out of a moving pickup and leave me alone in the cab? It sounds pretty dangerous. But it really wasn't. We did it all the time, Slim and I. See, when two men feed hay, one drives while the other cuts the wires of the bales and throws the hay off on the ground. When only one guy feeds, he puts the pickup in the lowest gear, climbs up on top of the load, and does the so forth. The purpose of this procedure is to make sure the hay gets scattered over a long line. If you don't scatter the hay, the biggest cows and the ones with horns will end up with all the grub. You're probably amazed that a dog would know so much about the business of feeding hay to livestock. Well, I have to admit that it's pretty amazing, but it's the sort of thing a head of ranch security has to know about and understand. A lot of your ordinary ranch mutts pay no attention to such matters. They just sit there in the pickup, looking out the window and saying, duh. Or they sleep. Drover sleeps. He knows nothing about haying livestock, even though he spent most of his life on a ranch. And the reason is that he sleeps all the time and doesn't pay attention. It hurts me to say that about Drover, but it's true. Oh, and one more thing about the moving pickup maneuver. It only works if you have a wide, flat area, a feed ground, as we call it. If you're in rough country with hills and ravines and canyons, you can get yourself into a world of trouble. I guess you can see why. It wouldn't be funny if the pickup ran off a cliff whilst the driver was up on top of the hay. But never fear. We had us a nice flat feed ground just west of the creek. There was no chance of the pickup running amok. On flat ground, it steered itself, don't you see? And if it ever started heading towards the creek, Slim would jump down and steer it back on course. Or, I had never actually tried to steer the pickup myself. I mean, that would have been asking a lot of a dog, even a head of ranch security, but what was the big deal about steering a pickup? Heck, little Alfred was steering the pickup for his daddy when he was 3 years old. When little Alfred was 3 years old, not Loper. When Loper was 3 years old, Alfred was just a baby. No, wait. When Loper was 3 years old, Alfred wasn't even born. Okay, but the point is that steering a slow-moving pickup was no big deal. And I had a feeling that if Slim or Loper ever asked me to do it, I could handle it. All you have to do is keep her between the ditches, as they say, or to bring it closer to home, keep her out of canyons and creek bottoms. Anyways, the pickup was chugging along in first gear, which we ranch dogs refer to as Grandma Low, or Granny Low, or Grandma, or Granny. Or sometimes compound. Why do we call it compound? I have no idea. I sat up in the seat and watched the scenery up ahead. Through the side mirrors, I couldn't see Slim, but I could see the signs of his work. Alfalfa leaves flying around in the wind and blocks of hay landing on the ground. He was busy. That was good. Maybe it would take his mind off of singing. I must admit that it made me feel kind of important, sitting up there in the seat of that big old pickup, all by myself, the only dog within miles. I mean, it was kind of like, well, being the captain of a steamboat or a battleship or something. You're the only dog on the bridge. That's what they call the cab of a ship, a bridge. Anyways, you're the only so forth, and you look through the windows at the vast ocean in front of you, and, well, you can steer the ship if you want. The wheel is right there in the bridge, and all you have to do to steer that huge ship and make it change course is, well, place one paw on the wheel and push down, which I did. And sure enough, the ship, pickup, actually, the ship changed course to the right. or to the starboard bow, as we ship captains call it. See, in the steamboat and battleship business, we never say left or right. That would be too common, and we don't use common terms. We say starboard and... Where did that big rock come from? That was a big rock dead ahead, and I was pretty sure it hadn't been there just a minute before. Or if it was, I hadn't seen it, and although it wasn't a huge rock, it was pretty big. No problem. Ship captains encounter rocks all the time. Also islands, ice cubes, and coral reefs. Icebergs, not ice cubes. An ice cube would be no sweat. Say, that's kind of a play on words, isn't it? An ice cube is no sweat. Get it? I get a kick out of messing around with words and... Oh yeah, the rock. Well, what can I say? I'd gotten all wrapped up in the excitement of being the captain of a naval battleship and had more or less forgotten to steer a course around the rock. No problem. The ship went over it. The pickup went over it, shall we say. And while it caused us to bump and lurch from side to side, we came through it with smiling colors. Flying colors, I guess it should be. We came through the scary ordeal with flying colors. In fact, it was kind of fun. Calm seas are nice for some people and dogs, but those of us with a taste for adventure and danger... I froze. My eyes were locked on the right side mirror. Why had Slim thrown off that big pile of bales in one spot? I mean, the whole purpose of feeding hay from a moving vehicle was to scatter it out, right? So why had he dumped... My goodness, there must have been 10 bales on the ground. Well, I would have to talk to Slim about this. I knew he was impatient sometimes and had a tendency to be... How can I put this? Might as well just blurt it out. He had a tendency to be lazy. And no doubt he'd gotten lazy and had dumped a bunch of bales on the ground in one spot. Well, there was no excuse for that. If you're gonna do a job, you might as well... There was a leg sticking out of those bales. I'm not kidding. I saw it with my own eyes, in the mirror on the right side of the pickup. It appeared to be a human leg with a boot on the end of it. And an arm? A human arm? Dear Gussie, this was a real puzzler. Who or whom could that be? I mean, when you see an arm and a leg, you naturally assume that... Well, you assume there's more. Other body parts. A person. Okay, a pattern began to develop here. Some unknown person had been walking around in our Dutcher Creek pasture. Why? We still didn't know. And another thing we didn't know was why Slim had decided to dump about 10 bales of hay on him. Wait, hold everything. Remember that rock? You'd probably forgotten about it, right? Well, we ran over a rock which caused the pickup to lurch and it's coming fast now, so hang on. Remember what I said about tying down the load with ropes? Slim chose not to do it, right? And remember my observation that the right rear corner of the load appeared to be cushy? Ha! Huh. Well, guess what? Just as we'd passed that stranger in the pasture, the pickup had lurched over the rock, causing the load to shift suddenly to one side and spilling 20 bales on top of the poor, hapless stranger. There you are. The mystery was solved. And guess who had predicted it? Not Slim, fellers. It was me. I had known... Wait a minute. What were the chances of encountering a total stranger in the Dutcher Creek pasture? And what were the chances that our load of hay would fall on top of him, burying every part of him but one leg and one arm? Not great. No chance at all. Out of the question. Okay, so whose arm and leg? I stared into the side mirror. A head appeared from the rubble of hay bales. I recognized the head. It belonged to Slim? I'm sorry, but I broke into a fit of uncontrollable laughter. I know it's tacky to laugh at the misfortunes of others, but think about it. It was so fitting, so right, so heavy with justice and irony. I mean, here was the guy who'd been too lazy to tie down his load with ropes, right? Who'd been warned by the head of ranch security that we might lose the load, right? Well, by George, the chickens had come home to rot. Old Slim had chosen to do a sloppy job, and he'd gotten buried by his own load of hay. That was rich. I loved it. I could hardly wait to hear what he had to.
Huh?
Wait a minute. If Slim was back there, climbing out from under his stacking job, and if I was sitting in the seat of a moving... My eyes swung around to the front. We were heading straight for the creek bank.
Don't.
Okay. I'd seen just about enough. I hit the button for major alarm. Attention, all hands. This is your captain squeaking. Speaking, that is. We have veered off course and are heading for a disaster. Therefore, as your captain, I'm giving the order to abandon ship. At the end of this message, I will dive out the window. I urge the rest of you to save yourselves. Thanks for your loyal service and courage in the face of a crisis. Until we meet again, good luck, men. I signed off and glanced around the ship that had been my home upon the waters for so many months and years. Then, with a heavy heart, I went into a deep crouch and sprang upward and outward towards the vast sea from which we all... Was this a joke? Someone had... Somehow the window had, and then I remembered, and the total reality of my situation came crashing down upon me. Slim had rolled up the dadgum window. I was trapped inside a moving pickup that was, yikes, headed straight for the creek bank. Okay, this called for drastic measures. I had no choice but to hurl the full weight of my enormous body against the window and destroy it in a crash of flying glass. I hated to do that to Slim's pickup, but hey, was I gonna ride that sucker all the way down into the bottomless waters of Wolf Creek? No way, Charlie. I was getting out of there. I took three deep breaths, loosened up the muscles in my shoulders, and prepared my mental energies for an emergency procedure we call doggy battering ram. We very seldom use it, and very seldom need to. Now, we needed to. And so it was that after preparing myself mentally and physically for this dangerous escape procedure, I coiled my legs under me, hurled myself like a cannonball at the window, and... Holy smokes. I was trapped inside a runaway pickup.